former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on this Monday morning. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, how are we doing after the weekend? I had a fun weekend away. Took some time off to go down to Oxnard, California for Dallas Cowboys training camp. Fun weekend for myself. We will get into it. But how was your weekend?
We're going to get into that heavily. Yes, America wants to know about that, Femi. They want to know with your binoculars and your recorder. You know, you probably stopped, had a good lunch like all great scouts do. But
yes.
No, I think this is a symbolic day in America here. Let's forget the stock market, but the reality of but the reality of what we face today is that this is, we are now in game week mode. I mean, every week I have a card. I don't know how my card is today, but I always have a card on like what I got to do on the week. And this is a week where, you know, I finally was able to label it. There it is. Here's my card. I was able to label it. I got it. This is game week one.
Boom.
We got games this week, Femi.
We love it.
It doesn't get better than that, right?
Oh, it does not get better. We had a little bit of an appetizer last week with the Hall of Fame game, but now we get the full 16 games throughout the course of the preseason, Thursday to Sunday. Then we'll keep it rolling. We get week two, week three. Then we'll take a little bit of a hiatus off with Labor Day weekend. But then we enter college football Labor Day weekend, which will be a lot of fun. And then ultimately we get the National Football League after that. And then we're just off and running until February. Then we are off and running. You even tweeted about it every week starting this Thursday until February. We have football. And it's not a good thing, Michael. It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
It really is. It's a great thing to talk about the game we love and to watch these teams. And this is the last week for the record that all the scouts and executives can boast about how talented their teams are and how they're going to get all these draft picks for these free agents that they've signed. And you know, and it's going to be impossible to cut this team. Oh, I don't know how we're going to cut the team. It's going to be impossible. That comes to an end after, by next Monday, it'll be easy for all these teams to cut players.
Magically, every year, all 32 teams get down to 53. Not sure how they do it, but they do it every single year. They get down to 53 players, and they head off to the regular season. We do have a fun show on deck for you guys over these next couple of hours. Starting 30 minutes from now, Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata in Atlantic City. He'll join us to talk about what it's like booking these preseason games. I know last Thursday, obviously, there was the game not ending, ending after the third quarter there with the weather delay and everything with the Lightning and the Thunder over in Canton, Ohio, what that was like for them at the Borgata. Also, what it's going to be like booking these games is information rules the day in the preseason markets. Then 45 minutes from now, Ken Barkley, host over at You Better You Bet, will join us to go over some preseason betting tips, also some win totals he likes, and he also looks at the offensive rookie of the year market. Then in hour number two, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, Zach Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor. Zach did a lot of great work on our VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which if you don't have it by now, you're absolutely slipping because we have the Pro Football Guide, we got the College Guide out. Zach did a lot of that. He has a ton of bets that we'll go over for the college football season because this is a segment that I need, Michael, just transparently. Like I need this to catch up on what's going on in college football because there's the new playoff, there's the new configuration with the conferences, the portal's always effervescent. Like it's a lot that happens in college football over the offseason, so nobody better than Zach Cohen to get us kind of caught up on what's been happening.
No question. I mean, look, college is hard. It's hard to keep track of it. It's hard to know who's going to be good. You know, we don't get preseason games in college. We don't get injury reports in college. So, you know, this guide gets you pointed in the right direction. Who's transferred in? You know, our guy Cam Ward from Washington State, he's at the University of Miami, you know, went into the draft. Does everybody know that? You know, now, of course, he's getting coached by Mario Cristobal, so you got to take that into your betting consideration. But, you know, but still, I think, look, Jalen Monroe, he's Ryan Grubb was going to be his coordinator. And, you know, obviously Caden DeBoard is going to do it now. But to me, there's so many moving parts, coaching and players, that the guide is really your first start in terms of helping. And then, look, today's email, I thought Bill Ady did a tremendous job with the email where we've extended out our offer for subscription for, instead of having a yearly base, you could do it on 3-year basis, which gets you another discount. And look, let's face it, if you're listening to us, you're in the betting market, you're not going anywhere. You might as well sign up for 3 years.
100%. And to kind of promote what Zach has coming up here in about 90 minutes, he's high on the Alabama Crimson Tide. How high, we'll discuss that a little bit later on with him in hour number two. He's got win totals on Texas A&M, Florida, Virginia Tech, UCLA. He's got an interesting futures market bet in the Big 12. He's got some Heisman thoughts. There's a lot out there that Zach has been covering, and he's been also dabbling in the Olympic stuff as well, if you want to go down that path. So we'll get into all of that in hour number two. But we'll kick it off here with what's been going on in the National Football League. A lot of news. I was at Dallas Cowboys training camp. I have a lot of thoughts on my Dallas Cowboys, you know. People know by now, but I am a fan of this team. It's the curse that I've been given by my family. But it was a fun weekend, though, down with my dad and my brother, and we were hanging out there for the Friday and Saturday practice. And believe it or not, Michael, Saturday, a lot of fans in attendance. I know people were worried about where are the fans. Are the fans giving up on this team after what we saw in the playoff loss to the Packers, which might go down as the worst loss in franchise history in the manner that it happened. But the Cowboys back at it again, getting ready for the 2024 season. And a little disappointed we didn't see first-round pick Tyler Guyton. He was battling an illness, so he did not practice. But I think this team will be kind of right around their win total. Like, to me, it feels like a 9-win team, maybe 10 at the absolute ceiling. But I don't think the Cowboys are going to – it's not as doom and gloom, I think, as the sort of the narrative is around this team.
Well, I mean, McCarthy's won – he's been 12-5 every year he's been there. He wins 9 games on the last year of his deal. It's doom and gloom. I mean, let's be clear, right? I mean, he didn't get an extension – for being at having a 62% winning percentage. I mean, if Jason Garrett would have had a 62% winning percentage, we would have had a parade down Euclid Avenue in Cleveland. I mean, it would have been unbelievable.
Would have
Everybody
been the ring
would
of
have
honor.
Been celebrating. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, but it, poor Mike, he's a 62%, and, you know, he wins 9 games next year, Femi. You will not see him with your dad and your brother down there next year. You won't be there.
No, he will not.
I mean, look, he's in a tough spot. You know, I can't explain to you, and you watch practice, you saw them. I can't explain why there's been no proactive, aggressive approach by the Cowboys to get a deal done. The only thing I can think of, Femi, is that Lamb's being outside the marketplace, because there is a market. It's pretty clear. Yeah. Like the Brandon Ayuk deal, to me, it should be done. He's not better than DJ Moore. DJ Moore made $27 million. Now, maybe the Niners aren't offering them $27 million over 4 years. I don't know. But if they're not, then that's probably why. But if they are, and he wants to get into the 30s, who's paying that? Like, who's paying that for Brandon Ayuk for 1 year? Now, I know he's gained 1,000 yards 2 years in a row, but who's paying that? Who's going to give up that much of a draft capital and then have to double down and pay? I don't see that one. Could the Steelers do it? Yeah, they could. It just doesn't fit what they do. I mean, when have the Steelers traded a first-round pick for a wide receiver?
Never. They always just draft them. They turn out all these great receivers that have come through the NFL through the pick. Like, whenever the Steelers draft a receiver, it's an eyebrow raiser because, they draft really well, especially at that position. So it seems that it'd be outside of their character to go out and make a splash like that. This is not to say that Ayuk isn't a good player. He's a really good player. He was second-team All-Pro this past season, but eventually – the player and what they are capable of has to make sense with the money as well. And if he's asking for Justin Jefferson money or even north of that, I mean, that's where you, as a team, you kind of have to be like, you know what? No, that's where we draw the line. We ain't going there. And maybe that's where there's this impasse right now with Ayuk. And there's now reports about maybe the Niners would go into being open to trading him once again, because Matt Maiocco, who covers the team for NBC Bay Area down there, he's covered the Niners for a number of years. Earlier this offseason, we had him on this very show and we asked him, what's the likelihood of an Ayuk trade? He says, they're not going to trade Ayuk this year. He's since changed his tune and says that, hey, if they got a legitimate offer, this is something that they would go down. That's the path that they would go down. So maybe we're talking about Brandon Ayuk on another team as soon as maybe later this week or maybe even next week.
Well, I think, look, what has caused the tune to change, right? What made the music go in a different direction? Well, they keep offering and Ayuk keeps saying no. Like, at some point, I keep wondering when they're going to send Ayuk home and say, look, dude, you know, I mean, either you take this deal or you don't. Either you play on the fifth year or you don't. I mean, the other thing they could do is offer him a better one-year deal, more incentives into this year's contract to see if he'll play, and then go from there. But they own his rights for 3 more years. This is getting frustrating for the team because the team can't make a deal with the player when there is a deal out there to be made if they want to recognize it. It's the same thing with Lamb. Yeah. Like, there shouldn't be. One of the reasons we used to have a lot of holdouts in the day was because we were not, we didn't have a lot of information. Everybody was, I heard this, I heard that. Everybody shares the data. Everybody can see the numbers. And when everybody can see the data, it's not that hard to get a deal done if you're reasonable. But I think Ayuk has been unreasonable since the start. I think he thinks that the Niners going to the Super Bowl was because of him.
Yeah, which is probably a little bit misguided, to say the least.
And let me say this too, Femi. Mm-hmm. I think as betting, a betting network in the world we live in, if they lose Ayuk, it's not going to lower their power ratings. It's not. They'll figure out another guy. They still have Debo. They still have Kittle. They may not be the same team. It may affect them on third down. Maybe Pearsall will be a better player. I don't know. But it's not going to move the needle. It's not. It's not going to change. They're a 5.5-point favorite against the Jets to open the season. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a I think that's too high of a number. I really do, especially if the Jets are healthy. But I don't think it's going to change the power ranking of the 49ers at all, in spite of what everybody says.
Yeah, they're the favorite right now to go and represent the NFC once again. And you guys had the poll question yesterday on the Lombardi line, is which wide receiver still looking for a deal is most important to their team's success in 2024? The options were CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, and Brandon Ayuk. CeeDee Lamb won this poll going away at 57%. Ja'Marr Chase was 36%. And then in third, Brandon Ayuk with 5.7%. So the masses echoing your sentiments of, hey, Ayuk really good, but if you were not on this team and didn't get the deal, it wouldn't really impact the 49ers and prevent them from going back to the Super Bowl, which is the expectations for them this season. We'll keep it rolling on the other side and break down some of the quarterback competitions and what it means going forward next here on the Lombardi Line. Hey, if you haven't heard, VEASAN is now proudly owned by Must Burger Media. And to celebrate, we're offering our lowest price ever, a special 3-year offer. This week only, get 3 years of VEASAN Pro access for just $350. That saves you over 75% off the monthly price. And when you become a VEASAN Pro subscriber today, you're going to get instant access to the daily best bets with the leaderboard, the betting splits, the 24/7 video access, the betting systems and analysis from the professional handicappers. But this limited time offer is available to both current and new subscribers. You're also going to get all the betting guides, pro football betting guide, college football betting guide. And if you're an existing subscriber that would like to add 3 years to your current account, please email us at subscribe@VEASAN.com. Or if you're looking to subscribe to VEASAN for the first time, please visit VEASAN.com/special to sign up today. That's VEASAN/special. How about that? 75% off the monthly price. $350 for 3 years sounds like a good deal if you ask me. One that people should be taking advantage of, especially now that we are rolling with football season, pro football and college football. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. 30 minutes from now, our old friend Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, will check in with us, get us his thoughts on some of the booking of the NFL preseason, some Olympics betting. How are people betting the Olympic basketball stuff? We'll ask TG about all that. And also some college football futures. What are the bettors eyeing over there in Atlantic City? We'll get all of those thoughts from Thomas Gable. But Michael, as we turn our attention back to the National Football League, we have a number of quarterback competitions all throughout training camp. And the one that's probably the most hotly contested is where I'm sitting here in Las Vegas between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew over at DraftKings. O'Connell, minus 130 to be the Raiders week one starter. Gardner Minshew is plus 105. Where does things stand as it sits right now between these two guys? And also, who do you expect to be the week one starter? And how can we kind of apply this quarterback competition to betting the preseason games that are coming up this weekend?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to affect the preseason game at all because both teams are going through quarterbacks. I think anytime you're handicapping the preseason games, always look at the backup offensive line. I think what we saw in the Hall of Fame game was fairly clear. Houston's offensive line could handle, especially when Davis Mills and Case Keenum were in the game, they could handle the backup defensive line for the Bears, and they moved the ball effectively. It took a long time, the drives down the field, but they were able to do that. So this Raider offensive line is somewhat in a mess right now. But to the point of what you asked me, I think is important because when you, John Madden once said, when you have two of something, you have nothing. The Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, they're dying for somebody to be the name, the starter, but neither guy's good enough to win the job. I think this is going to be clearly a rotational situation. We may see Minshew for some games, and then all of a sudden when he bombs out, we're going to go back to O'Connell. It's going to be fascinating to see. Their offensive line is in a state of flux, which hurts them too. Where are they at running back with White? Can he handle the job as the back taking over for Jacob? So I think this offense is in question, really. Now, you know, who's getting the ball to Brock Bowers? That's the problem, mm-hmm. right? They got two good tight ends in Mayer and Bowers, but can they get him the football? And where is Devontae Adams in all this? So I think, to me, the last I've heard, and this was today, was that Minshew's starting to come on. I think it's going to be every day it could change.
Man, yeah, it sounds like it's a day-to-day scenario with the Las Vegas Raiders. They recently had a scrimmage this past weekend over in Costa Mesa, so I'm assuming that maybe Minshew outshined Aiden O'Connell in that inner squad scrimmage. Those are kind of some of the takeaways, but I'm looking at the betting market right now for their preseason game against the Vikings. This will be on Saturday. The Raiders are now out to 5.5-point favorites pretty much everywhere, so the market keeps betting the Raiders, kind of betting this angle of Minshew and O'Connell, maybe they get to play a little bit longer into game. Games, and then we at least know that we can get some sort of competent quarterback play in the preseason in the second
half. Look at the total at 39.
That's high.
That's a high preseason total. I mean, that's got to tempt some people to come in and bet that under there because, you know, I know that, you know, Minnesota's not going to play their first team defenders. Neither are the Raiders. I don't think you're going to see Crosby or Wilkins or even, you know, Kuntz in the game. I think it's going to be backups all the time. And Minnesota, you know, their backup receivers, the backup, you're going to see J.J. McCarthy. He has to play a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'll see Sam Darnold. I would see maybe one series at the most. So I'm surprised that total's that high. I really am.
Yeah, that's a really, really high total. And I guess if you look at the Vikings depth chart for their quarterback position, I mean, it's not the worst for a preseason game. I mean, you have Darnold, who maybe might not play, but then there's J.J. McCarthy. You have Nick Mullins there, Jaren Hall. These are guys who have experience starting games. Like, Jaren Hall started multiple games last year. It wasn't by choice. And it was more by injury, but he can run, yeah.
One of the things I think you have to take a look at in the preseason is what quarterback can run around, right?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, you got to be athletic because the offensive lines are all shaky. Like we know O-line depth is a problem in the National Football League. So the guys are out there on the preseason, I mean, especially in the second half, it's kind of ole kind of situation. Like, come on in and come hit the quarterback. So if you can't move, you might be in trouble there. But we do have a betting market open, though, for the Darnold-McCarthy quarterback battle. Darnold is now out to a minus 600 favorite. McCarthy is plus 400. What would have to happen in the preseason for that to sort of compress? Like, McCarthy has to just play out of his mind for then all of a sudden this becomes a conversation of, all right, who should be our week one starter?
I mean, look, Aiden O'Connell played well last preseason, right?
Yeah.
And we know he's not good enough. Sam Ellinger has played really good in the preseason. We know he's not good enough. I don't think you could take preseason quarterbacking and move the number. I think it's going to have to be something in the inner squad practices, or Darnold just has messed up so bad, or Darnold's injured for that number to move. It's not going to be the games, Femi, because the games, we've seen guys play well. I mean, Justin Fields will play well for the Steelers in a preseason game. We know it's cover three, it's cover one, it's a basic thing. So it's not going to be hard for veteran quarterbacks to go in there and say, okay, I'm throwing the ball here. It's when the game moves fast is when it becomes a problem. So I don't think this number is going to move at all. I think it's set at the right number. They have a plan. I think they're disciplined enough to go with the plan. And unless Darnold just starts to turn the ball over at a rapid rate, they'll walk away from the plan.
So if you're betting these markets, and these are the markets for quarterbacks to start week one, should you then be paying attention to what people are saying from these joint practices? Is that more so what you should be paying versus the actual preseason game? And it's even hard to read the tea leaves on that because you're having to trust whoever is evaluating, whoever's writing this stuff up. It might be a beat writer and all that, which can be a little bit scary at times. But it almost sounds like that's where you should kind of be looking more so than the actual games that we'll see starting this weekend.
I think you need to listen to our show, so because we're going to talk to people that are in the league that are watching the tape, and they're going to say, okay, this guy's really good. Like the Lions are practicing against the Giants today.
We know
they had a couple of fights. Yeah. So, you know, you talk to some people from the Lions, you talk to some people from the Giants, you kind of compare some notes. Here's what they think. You know, you're going to watch the tape. That's kind of the best thing to do. If you can get it from people in the league who understand pro football, then I think it's going to be beneficial for you to do that. It's not so much the production that's obvious to the fans to see. It's what's actually going on. Who's going against it? I was watching a YouTube video today of Sweat, the defensive tackle drafted in the second round by the Titans, right?
Yep.
And everybody's saying he's having a great camp. Okay, then I watch him, and, you know, it's a one-on-one drill against a backup offensive lineman. Like, okay, what do you want me to do? Like,
yeah.
I'm not buying that, okay? I want to see it in the game. I looked at his body. He didn't look like he was in shape. So we'll see the Tennessee Titans against the 49ers, and we'll see how he handles the zone block and how he handles people that are going to run after his legs and go from there.
Yeah, especially those one-on-one drills, as much as I love them, O-line versus D-line, it's heavily slanted toward the defensive line because it's just, right, it's like block this guy on an island. Like, it's taking
stuff
away.
It's a waste of time.
It is. It really is a waste of time. Although it's fun to watch just guys battle in the trenches, but it's not even really the trenches since it's just on an island. The Denver Broncos, Bo Nix right now, he's minus 200 to be their week one starter. Jared Stidham plus 190, and then Zach Wilson at plus 850. This seems like it's a two-person competition between Nix and Stidham, but Nix, I don't know if he's running away with it, but the more I read, the more he's getting the first-team workload, given the fact that he was drafted in the first round. Sean Payton really likes Bo Nix. It feels like that's where we're headed for week one in Denver.
Look, I think there's no question it's going to be Bo Nix. It's always going to be Bo Nix. Bo Nix is the guy that Sean drafted with a purpose and a plan. And when you have a purpose and you have a plan, you're going to execute. There's nothing going to change that. And I think it's pretty clear. I mean, bringing Zach Wilson in was really just to take a look at him. It was free. It was cheap. Same thing. He's got Jarrett Stidham, and he's only going to play. His future is with Bo Nix, and I think he's going to get on with it as soon as he can.
Would you take a nibble on Justin Fields at plus 300 to be the Steelers' week one starter? Russell Wilson, he was minus 750. Now he's down to minus 450 since he's been struggling with a calf injury, and Fields has been able to run with the ones.
Yeah, I would take a nibble at that only because I think that calf injury, as we've seen with Joe Burrow, it lingers, right?
Yeah.
Those things are not easy for older guys to get away from. And I think you have to worry about that.
Yeah, I think the longer this continues to go, it feels like the closer that this gap, the gap is starting to shrink a little bit between Wilson and Fields. Then finally, the New England Patriots, Jacoby Brissett's a massive minus 900 favorite to be the week one starter, and Drake May's plus 550.
That's not changing. That's a waste of money there. Don't even try to change that.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be Jacoby Brissett week one, and that's sort of the plan all along when they drafted Drake May, is that we're going to be patient in this process and his development plan, and I guess maybe we'll see him at some point during the regular season. Maybe we don't even see him at all, and maybe he'll sit the entire 24 regular season. All right, Thomas Gable of the Race Sportsbook Director at Borgata will join us next here on the Lombardi Line. Our 2024 VSiN College Football Betting Guide is your ultimate resource for the upcoming college football season, including previews of all 134 teams, a preseason top 25, power ratings, proven betting systems, and more. Sign up today and receive both the College Football and NFL Betting Guide, plus full VSiN Pro access to our daily Pro Picks, 24/7 video, exclusive data like our betting splits. See all of our subscription options at VSiN.com/subscribe and pick the plan that works best for you. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, thank you to the three guests that we had on the program today. Thomas Gable, Race and Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata, Ken Barkley of You Better You Bet, and then Zach Cohen, VSiN.com Senior Editor, who joined us in the last segment and did a lot of great work, as well as many others here at the network on the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. But Michael, we wanted to spend this last segment looking at some of the Week 1 NFL line movement. I mean, just to say those words, it sounds amazing. And we've seen some big moves already happening right now. I wanted to focus on the ones that had the most movement, but then also some of that moved off of the key numbers. And we'll start with my Dallas Cowboys against the Cleveland Browns. They started off as a one-point favorite. Now the Browns are out to as many as two-point favorites in this spot here. Do you agree with that move, making the Dallas Cowboys are now two-point underdog against the Cleveland Browns on the road?
Well, I think to me, a lot of it's going to come down to what we see out of Deshaun Watson in some of these practices. Have they actually improved? A couple of questions for the Browns are, can the offensive line stay as good as it has? And is Deshaun Watson going to play like he did in the second half of the Baltimore game? 12 games as a Cleveland Brown, he's had one half of really good football. And so I can't really get behind it. A lot of this number's being driven by the fact that two things colliding. The Browns are a better defense at home. That's mm-hmm. been proven over last year. And the Cowboys are not a good team on the road. Lost yep. all five games on the road last year. So I think those two worlds are colliding. And I think it makes sense. I think, to me, if this line moves to three, you're going to see a lot of buyback. I don't think it gets to three. I think it stays right here, and it could move a little bit. But there's no enthusiasm about the Cowboys right now.
Have you heard anybody make the case for Cowboys over 10.5 wins this season?
None.
I haven't heard it either.
You know, and I think you got to really research in this game. You really have to research Mike Zimmer versus this style of offense, mm-hmm. right? I think you really have to see how he's handled it, how he did at Cleveland. You know, remember, Zimmer was the head coach when Stefanski was yep. the offensive assistant there. So they really know each other. So that gives, you know, that's going to give Kevin a chance to really understand. He's had an all-off season to know how Mike's going to attack him and Paul Gunther, his linebacker coach. I think that's another reason why you have to like the Browns and lay the points here.
Yeah, it's kind of the game within the game. Stefanski, he's not going to be caught off guard by the double A gap pressures that Zimmer's throwing out on third down and all of that stuff. They'll be ready and locked and loaded for all of that. How about the Minnesota Vikings at the New York Giants? The Giants were laying one. Now Minnesota is the one-point favorite, road chalk in the Meadowlands against the G-Men.
Well, I think they obviously paid attention here to the Hard Knocks, or else how else would this number move? I mean, where are the Giants' offensive line is a disaster, and one of the strengths of Minnesota's defensive is their defensive front. You added Dallas Turner, Jonathan Gennard, you know, you've added some, you've Andrew Van Ginkle, you've added guys who can rush and put pressure. And here's the thing that you really like, and I think it's one of the reasons why this line has moved so dramatically, is because Brian Flores is going to come after the quarterback. And what does Daniel Jones not really like is pressure. Mm. It's really hard for him to handle pressure. And so I think, to me, that's going to be an issue.
You know, these are the games that moved the most from like just like pure point status. But the ones that had the more significant movement off of the key numbers is what I want to hit next year, starting with the Cardinals at the Bills. This was Buffalo laying 7. Now, it only moved a half a point, but it's a big half point now that they're laying only 6.5. So the Cardinals, who were catching 7, now catching 6.5, as there's optimism about Arizona. And I think people are just not to the extent that they're pessimistic about Dallas, but people are pessimistic about Buffalo because we've seen it so many times and we've seen them come up short so many times.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right move here. Because, look, Kyler Murray, one of the things you've been paying attention to what's going on around the league is Buffalo's safety situation has not been very good. And they're concerned about that. And that's where all the checks come in. And I think that this Arizona team last year proved with Drew Petsick as the offensive coordinator that they could really run the football effectively. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can run the ball against a smaller Buffalo defensive front, which is what they have, they're a nickel team all the way, right? That really becomes a problem for them. I think it's a good matchup for Arizona. Now, look, I'm not in love with Kyler Murray, as you know. I think that's problematic. But I do think that this is a good opportunity, especially in the opener.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kyler running around in those openers. The Cardinals, it feels like they're always frisky early on in the season. I think the only game that they've been blown out was like when they played Kansas City a couple of years ago and the Chiefs went down there and really put a number on them. But outside of that, we always remember the game against the Titans where it was Cliff and Kyler going into Tennessee and they just laid it on Vrabel and the Titans in that spot where I think many people thought Tennessee would win that football game. The Sunday night game, rematch of what we saw wild card weekend, Rams at the Lions. This was Detroit laying 3. Now it's 3.5. The Rams, of course, have a number of injuries throughout training camp. Puka Nacua's week to week. Havenstein, Alaric Jackson, Jonah Jackson, three of those guys on the offensive line who will be starters this regular season dealing with something. Do you think that's what's baked into this? Or is it maybe the general optimism of, hey, Detroit's going to take that next step and maybe they could be the team that's left standing in the NFC?
You know, there's three games that really appealed to me on this sheet, and this was one of them. I really like the Rams here. I felt like the Rams at getting 3.5 was a good value play because I think the hype for Detroit, I think Sean McVay in the opener, he'll know how to run the ball. Sean McVay against Aaron Glenn, I like that matchup. You know, look, I think to me the Rams defensively will have a little bit of a trouble with the Lions offense, but I think it'll be a really good game. I think it's a field goal game. That half point makes a big difference. But my concern here is what will happen with the offensive line. And I don't think you want to go on the road with crowd noise into Detroit when it's going to be, you know, it's going to be electric. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere there in the opening game and have three offensive linemen not be healthy in the game. For me, I've got to be convinced that Rams line is healthy before I put that one out there.
100%. I think that's the thing. Like, these lines have been out since May 15th. I know we're all kind of just itching to bet some football because we love the sport, but let's at least get more into training camp. Let's get through the preseason, make sure these guys are healthy. You might lose a little bit of value, quote unquote, but I think you would rather know than to go in blind and all of a sudden something goes awry and you're, hey, now you're holding a +3.5 and there's three backup offensive linemen against that Detroit Lions front in Sunday Night Football. Where are you at with Jacksonville? We haven't talked much about the Jaguars this year since the Trevor Lawrence contract. They were catching four at home against the Dolphins. Sorry, excuse me, in Miami. They were catching four in Miami. Now it's down to 3.5. So there's some interest coming in on Jacksonville and maybe the market looking to fade the Dolphins.
Well, I think this is, I think the line should be, I think four seemed like a lot. You know, I think we're going to find out about the Ryan Nielsen defense, who's very good. I mean, Nielsen's defense is, you know, they were the third best third down defense. This is Atlanta last year. He was the third best third down defense in the league with Atlanta. He was the fourth best red zone defense with Atlanta. So even though you could move the ball in Atlanta, he was very good in the red zone. So I think that's one of the reasons why this number is going to move down. I would suspect he knows how to play the run and shoot, and they'll do a good job. Do I love Jacksonville's team? No. I think there's some question marks about Miami defensively, too. Where are they? How is their front? They've got a lot of linebackers injured. Brooks has been injured. So I think we got to clean that up a little bit to understand it and see where it is. The other game that jumps out to me, Femi, is how are the Falcons a 3-point favorite over the Steelers?
Yeah, that's and I think all the threes pretty much look like they're gone off the board now. It's, I think, 2.5 is your consensus number. There's even a 1.5 in the market now. So I think the market was picking up what you're putting down. When that thing opened up, it was Falcons laying 3. I think a lot of people said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and gobble up that 3 and take the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, catching a field goal. Now, who knows how that's impacted by depending on who the starting quarterback is for Pittsburgh. Is 2.5, is this a Russell Wilson number? Does it go back to 3 if it's Fields, given his regular season record in the past? Like, I think still waiting on that quarterback news from Pittsburgh and maybe even Atlanta as well, hoping that Kirk Cousins can get through training camp since he's rehabbing the Achilles injury.
Yeah, I think that's that. You know, that's where we're not going to see Kurt, but I'm told by people watching Falcon practice that he doesn't really plan off that leg, that it's just not there yet. We'll see how it works out. I mean, you know, again, you, like you said earlier, evaluate the evaluator.
Yeah, that's a tough part about that. And that's the thing, is that Kirk Cousins suffered the Achilles injury. It's not like Rodgers, who did it on like the fourth play of week one. Kirk Cousins did it like about a day or so before Halloween. So maybe he's a little bit behind in the process of rehab. But it was just fun to talk about these week one games and the line moves.
Oh, love it.
We'll obviously talk about this all month long leading up to them. They're a month from Thursday, Michael. A month from Thursday, we'll get that Sunday slate in the National Football League, and we will be locked and loaded, ready to roll. But that does it for this edition of the Lombardi Line. Michael, have a good rest of your Monday, man. Be well.
You too, Femi. Thank you, Femi.
We'll see you later. Sharp Money's coming up next. If you haven't heard, VSiN is now proudly owned by Must Burger Media. And to celebrate, we're offering our lowest price ever, a special 3-year offer this week only. Get 3 years of VSiN Pro for just $350. That saves you over 75% off the monthly price. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get instant access to everything we do, including the daily best bets, the betting splits, the betting systems, analysis from professional handicappers, 24/7 video access, plus access to all our betting guides. This limited time offer is available to both current and new subscribers. And if you're an existing subscriber that would like to add 3 years to your account, please email us at subscribe@VSiN.com. Or if you're looking to subscribe to VSiN for the first time, please visit VSiN.com/special to sign up today. That's VSiN.com/special.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business. It's time you and me had a private talk, Winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Oh, yeah. My watch says 2:15 Eastern, 11:15 Pacific time, which means we got some appointments on deck. And this one will start in Las Vegas, and it's a twofer. Both Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew stepping into the office. What do they need to hear?
Well, we got a lot of room in this office, Femi. We got a couch over there, too, that I probably got to sleep on sometimes.
It's a corner office.
Look, I think at the end of the day, both of you have to play within the framework of yourself. But I think more than anything, somebody has to become the leader of the team. The team takes on the personality of two people, their head coach and their quarterback. Sometimes the quarterback doesn't have any personality, and he kind of blends in. Like, you know, and then a defensive player can take over. Trent Dilfer in Baltimore, Ray Lewis was really the straw that stirred the drink. So you both of you have to decide who's going to become the leader, because defensively they don't have anybody over there that's going to take it over. Crosby's a wonderful player, but there's got to be leadership offensively, or else Devontae Adams is going to become the leader, and he's going to be complaining to both of you that he's not getting the ball all the time. So somebody's got to step up, and the only way you can lead is produce. The only way you can lead is to endear your teammates to a sense of belonging, and you guys have to create that. It has to be created by what you do on the field, without making mistakes, without having dumb plays, without putting your team in jeopardy. I think more than anything, if you study the history of the National Football League, more games are lost than they are won. When you give a game away all the time, the Giants 2 years ago won 9 games, didn't play particularly well. They just didn't give games away. Last year, you know, Seattle won 9 games, and when they didn't give the game away with turnovers, they were really good. So what you have to do is play within yourself and hope your defense is good enough. Let's face it, you beat Kansas City in Kansas City on Christmas Day. You didn't complete a pass after the first quarter, and yet you won the game. So for you guys, it's got to be somebody lead and somebody play within the comforts of themselves.
Yeah, as head coach Antonio Pierce told the media, says, stop with the baby steps and be the guy, is what he's looking for between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Up next, a person who's familiar with the office, used to be in Chicago, now it's moved to Pittsburgh. Justin Fields, new Steelers quarterback, what does he need to hear?
Justin, what you need to hear is tell everybody to shut up. Like, just shut up. Like, you're competing for a job. You're not competing for the MVP of the league. Don't put anything in front of yourself. It really was unfair to you as a young player that they put that much pressure on you from the outside. MVP voting, leading the Bears to the Super Bowl, doing all these things. You were never ready for that. And it was unfair that people did that to you, with a worldwide leader included. Don't call your boy Danny O back on the phone. Ignore him, all right? What you need to do is just focus on being the best player you can be for Pittsburgh. And you could become the starting quarterback if you do two things really well. Protect the football, number one. And two, take what the defense gives you. Let Arthur Smith's offense carry it. And then when you have the opportunity to add your flair within it, then add it. With your legs and your ability to run, because you can really do some incredible things with the ball in your hands. But you cannot play if you're going to turn the ball over. The Steelers won 10 games last year. They lost to New England. They lost to Arizona. The reason they won that many games, they didn't turn the ball over. They were always in close games. They found a way to win games in the fourth quarter, somehow, some way. They were not talented. They were not the best team, but they made the playoffs. You have to play within the framework of yourself. And you can't turn the ball over, and stop the noise. Don't let anybody, any chance you get to talk to the media, make sure you tell them, look, I'm competing for a job. I don't have a job yet. Make sure you lower the expectations. Make sure you are really doing everything on the field to give yourself a chance to win, but reminding people you're competing.
Yeah, watching an interview with head coach Mike Tomlin this past weekend, he was saying that the thing that he liked about Justin Fields was his professionalism and how he's gone about his business. And just kind of continue, which is what you're saying, continue down that road. Quiet the noise. Just focus on what you can do and protect the football to the best of your ability. And maybe, just maybe, when you look up, you might be the week one starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, let's go to the Rocky Mountains with rookie Broncos quarterback Bo Nix. What does Bo Nix need to hear?
Well, Bo, I think one of the things that you did really well at Auburn, probably almost as good as Caleb Williams, was the ability to make a play after the play broke down. And I think that's going to be your main thing here with the Denver Broncos, because Sean's going to put you in a really good situation. He's going to want you to execute the offense exactly how he tells you to do it. And when the play breaks down, you got to be smart with the football, protect the ball. Again, Denver won a lot of games last year because they didn't turn the ball over. They weren't pretty. Nobody's pretty. I mean, Iowa's the third winningest team in the Big Ten, and everybody hates their offense. Only Ohio State and Michigan have more wins than Iowa does, but yet they get no credit for it because they're boring. Boring's good, and you have to be boring, and you have to embrace boring. And when you have an opportunity and you can make plays on the move and on your feet, take advantage of it. And let Sean run the offense. Sean made a comment the other day about Williams being back to normal, the big back from North Carolina. We know he's got unique talent. We know he can be a really good player, but he was coming off that knee injury and he wasn't the same back that he was, average under 3 yards a carry, under 4 yards a carry last year. You got to ride the big dog and use this good offensive line to help you. But when you have a chance to move around and make plays, that's the strength of what you can do right now. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, Bo Nix, around 18-1 to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's obviously further down the road there, but the betting market's betting against him, but if he plays within himself, maybe he'll have a lot of success with Sean Payton, who knows a lot about quarterbacks, helping him in his development process. All right, let's go to Los Angeles and Hollywood, where unfortunately we have our quarterback sidelined to injury. Justin Herbert dealing with a right plantar fascia injury. What does Herbert need to hear during this rehab process?
Just do what the doctors tell you to do. What we don't want to have happen is this thing creep back up in March. It creep back up in December or November, late November, where it's going to affect us making that run that we need to do. And I think you can learn from Joe Burrow last year. Joe Burrow rushed back, and he was so preoccupied with being there for the opening game. He played horribly for the first half of the season, and then he got hurt against Houston when he was starting to play better. And I think, to me, you know, the month of September, if you miss a game or two, you got to hope that Ethan Stick can carry the team through it and see what they can do. But don't rush back, because what you need to be is healthy at the end of the year so you can make your playoff run. And listen to the doctors and make sure that you get all the mental reps that you possibly can. Look, this team is going to rely more on the run game than they're going to rely on your arm. That's just who Jim Harbaugh is. So let the offense work for you, not against you. And take all the mental reps that you possibly can, because getting into the right run is really what's going to be the biggest part of your job in 2024.
Yeah, I remember it was a couple of years ago when Justin Herbert was dealing with a rib injury, and the betting market thought he was going to miss the game. He ultimately played against the Jaguars, didn't play so well, trying to gut out through an injury. So just listen to the doctors, like Michael is saying. Final appointment, Matthew Judon of the New England Patriots seeking a new contract. What does he need to hear here at Patriots training camp?
Well, I think what you got to do is just be a football player and let your agents handle what they have to handle, because you don't want to get fined. You don't want to be as dumb as Hassan Riddick has been. He's going to be fined for almost $1 million as of this week. He's lost a ton of money in the $50,000 a day fines, plus the backup fines that once he's missed a certain point, plus the $100,000 he missed for rookie. So don't be that, you know. Let them come to you. You're a great team leader. You did a wonderful job last year with your injury that prevented you from playing, but it helped you help Barmore gain that contract because of your leadership. I think that's what you got to do. Take the high road, one more year on the deal, and don't say yes to a bad deal. Don't say yes to being able to guarantee yourself a couple million more when next year you hit the open market, you could have a huge deal. Don't take any more years. Take whatever they're going to offer you in incentives or offer you in guaranteed this year and move on.
Yeah, Judon right now owed $7.5 million this season. He's turning 32 years old in a few weeks, so maybe he's looking at this as a potential last chance to get that bite at the apple. No Brandon Ayuk in the office this week?
I mean, he's been in so damn much, I'm tired of seeing him in here. I told the girl not to let him in. I mean, I don't want to talk to his ass anymore. I'm like done with him. Like I told Elliot, I can't. There's nothing I could say to him. I can't get through to him.
Keep him out of the office.
Yeah, I mean, we're not making any progress here. You know, we're not. Yeah. He thinks he's all of a sudden he became Randy Moss.
He said they don't want him, is what he said. The 49ers don't want me, man. I guess I should go find a new team. That is Step Into My Office here on the Lombardi Line. Always a treat every single Monday. On the other side, speaking of a treat, we're going to turn our attention to college football. Zach Cohen, our VSiN.com writer, will join us with all of his best bets for college football this upcoming season. This is the Lombardi Line.